Praise the Lord. Good to see you guys. It's back to the book of Revelation. So if you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Revelation chapter 16. Hoping to get through, matter of fact, we will get through verses 1 through 11 today. Looking at the bowls of wrath. So let's read that first verse together. Notice it says, "And I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth." Let's pray. Fathers, we come to a very daunting portion of Scripture today, and we see, Lord, the future of this planet. God, again, it should remind us of the rejoicing we have in you because of what you have done for us, God, and the fact that you have delivered us from the judgment to come. Lord, you've told us that judgment is coming upon this earth. You've told us that judgment one day will be on every man and woman that rejects you as their Lord and Savior. And yet you've also told us that, Lord, you've given us a way out, the cross, through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just thank you that we have that out. I thank you, Lord, that we have the cross. And as we get into your word today, God, and we look at this very serious portion of Scripture, the final judgments on the earth before your second coming, Lord, I pray that you would help us to rejoice in the fact, number one, we won't be here. But God, also to rejoice in the fact that, Lord, we have the opportunity now, still yet, to tell others about you before it's too late. So we give you glory. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Fill this place with your Spirit. And God, open up your word to your people. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now we come to a very interesting portion of Scripture today, pretty much for any pastor, or might I say for any believer who's trying to share with someone about Jesus Christ, because this is one of the hardest places when you come to the wrath of God. There seems to be this stigma of the wrath of God, because we all like to think of God as a loving and gracious God, which indeed he is. But the reality is, God is also a God of judgment. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of long-suffering. But for those who continue to reject him, the Bible says one day there is going to be judgment. And the scene we're coming to today is after the world has rejected the Lord till the very end, right before the second coming. He has sent his son. He has sent his spirit. He has sent his servants. His message is all over the world, whether it be shoeboxes through Operation Christmas Child or radio or other ministries that reach around the world. God is reaching around the world and giving his message. And so the whole world is going to hear. As a matter of fact, remember we saw back earlier in Revelation that angels are actually going to surround the earth. And angels are going to preach the gospel. So everyone is without excuse. And so when we get into this portion today, we may think, wow, this is heavy duty. And I'm telling you, it is. When you see what happens in these bowls and what's going to be happening to the earth during that time, it is heavy duty. But you've got to realize these are those who have made up their mind. We do not want God. We hate God. We hate people. They're murderers. They were going to be murdering the Christians in cold blood. And so this is the worst of the worst. When this is happening, when the bowls are being poured out, if you will, imagine the world as a giant penitentiary of the worst of the worst. And so the murderers, the killers, the rapists, everything. And so God has now removed those that are righteous. He's removed those that want to be rescued for the most part. There will still be some believers saved during those last days, and God will deal with them in the way he's going to deal with them. But for the most part, the earth is going to be completely corrupt with all goodness and all righteousness and everything gone. And when it comes to that point, there's nothing left but the judgment of God. So we need that kind of setting to understand this today. And I want to say that also, I want you to be encouraged by the time we're done today, because although we're going to be reading about all this destruction that's happening to the earth, the great news is, number one, you're not going to be here if you know Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says this begins the beginning of the pouring out of the wrath of God. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9 that you as a believer have not been appointed to wrath, but to salvation through Jesus Christ, which means you won't be here. So that's the first good news, you won't be here. The second good news is God has told us what's coming, so we understand it as it's formulating and we can warn others. So this is not a passage that should make you as a believer fearful. It is not a passage that should make you as a believer nervous or worried. But again, if you don't know Jesus Christ, then it probably should strike a little bit of godly fear in you so that you'll get serious about your life. And let me just say this before we jump into it as well. Very rarely does a message on judgment or God's wrath bring people to the Lord. God uses that sometimes. But for the most part, it's God's kindness. The Bible says God's kindness leads us to repentance. So the message that we are predominantly to bring is of God's love and grace and God's forgiveness. But at the same time, we have to be mature enough to look at all the Bible and let people know what the Bible says is going to happen for those who continue to reject Jesus Christ. And so there is good news in this and there's rejoicing in this, although we do see that the initial news here could be rather daunting whenever we read this. And again, this is a difficult subject when you jump into judgment, because it's one where a lot of people that don't have a full understanding of God and God's grace and God's mercy will try to blame God and accuse God, but we're going to see that the angels even declare God's righteousness in this judgment. As we see the judgments happening, the angels are going to be declaring in heaven, oh God, you are righteous in what you're doing. And we'll understand that better when we are in the kingdom of God. Now, something else to understand before we jump into the bowls is that, remember, we've had the seals and we've had the trumpets and now we've had the bowls. And if you remember, with each phase, it's been more intense. The seals started out with a level of intensity. The trumpets got more intense. And now the bowls, I mean, they just blow it out of the water. And so, again, you see God turning up the heat. And again, there's twofold reason for this. God increasing the intensity so that people will break and give their life to Christ. This is the desire to bring them into the kingdom of God. And, you know, we can associate with that. How many of you had God turn up the heat in your life to get your attention and to bring you to God? I know I did. And the other is because as people continue to reject the cross and the fact that their judgment was on the cross, someone has to take that judgment. And so God's going to begin to pour that judgment out on the earth in mankind for those who reject it. So you're going to see a very strong uptick in consequences for those who are still here for the great bowl judgments. Now, by the way, these books come by ever so often. There's some book out there, I don't know the name of it. Somebody called me and told me about a new book that's out there that's gaining a little bit of traction in the Christian community. And these books come along ever so often. And the author's trying to say, well, we're going to be here for all the bowls up to bowl number 6, and then God's going to get us out of here. Well, there's a problem with that biblically, and that is the Bible tells us that we're not appointed to wrath, which means as believers, we won't be here. And God promised the church of Philadelphia, which is a picture of the last day's church, he said, if you serve me and honor me, he said, I'll take you from the hour of trial that's coming upon the entire earth. How do we know that book is false that is apparently circulating? Because he tells us in 16 verse 1 here in Revelation, this is the wrath of God being poured out. And God says, you as believers will not experience the wrath of God. So you don't have to worry about that. You may experience the wrath of Satan. As a matter of fact, you probably will and you probably have. But this is not going to be the wrath of God. Now, something else to note before we jump into looking at the bowls as they're poured out is the bowls also mirror what God did in Egypt with the plagues and Moses. Remember when Moses went to Egypt, he goes to Pharaoh and says, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. And we begin to see all these plagues, these 10 different plagues that were poured out on Egypt. It's interesting, on each of those plagues, there was a god that was behind it, a god of Egypt being judged. For example, there was a god of the Nile. So God, you know, judges the Nile. There was a god of the, you know, these frogs and flies and all these different things. So God judged them by these things. And in essence, what God was saying is the thing that you're holding up is a god. I'm greater than. And I'm going to show you that I'm greater. I'm going to take your gods and I'm going to pour out my judgment on your gods to show you that I alone am God. So we're going to see the same thing happen here. Even as God did in Egypt, he's going to be doing in the bowl judgments as God judges the world and those that are worshiping the wrong things to get their attention. So let's just jump into it. Now, before we ended last time, remember, give us a recap. At the end of chapter 15, remember we saw these seven angels and they had come out of the temple and they had these bowls of wrath that they were waiting to pour out. They were holding them. And now we're going to see God give the command for them to pour these bowls out. They'll each begin to pour out each bowl. So imagine the scene in your mind in heaven. There's the angels. They're holding the bowls. We hear this loud voice of God say, you know, it's time to go. And the first angel pours out his bowl. And this is what we get starting in verse 1. It says, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Now, again, with this proclamation, it's as if God is saying, enough. That's it. You know, God has been gracious, he's been long-suffering, he's waited 2,000 years presenting the cross, presenting Jesus Christ. He's done everything he can, even through the seals and the trumpets, for those that were left after the rapture to try to bring them to repentance. They still have rejected. They've received this world leader by now, and the mark of his name, the mark of the beast, remember, is going to be on the hand of the forehead. And now we hear this loud voice coming out of the temple there saying, enough, I've done everything I can, you've refused it. And now the consequences. And notice this loud voice announcing this shows the magnitude of the event. And some believe, again, this is none other than God himself. Probably it is, saying that's it. It's time now to begin these bowl judgments. And so begin to pour them out. And so the first one, notice it says, go and pour out your bowl, the bowls of wrath on the earth. So the first went and poured out his bowl on the earth. And a foul and loathsome sore came upon men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. Now, note this. Remember, God had specifically warned, don't take the mark. And you might say, yes, well, we know that because we're going to Calvary Chapel or we grew up in church and we've heard about the mark of the beast. But what about the world? They didn't know about the mark of the beast. Remember, God sent angels. So angels will be circling around the earth saying, do not take the mark of the beast. How it's going to work, I don't know. Will the angels be visible? Will there be? I don't know how it's going to work. All I know is God says he sends angels around the world to say this. So no one will have excuse. And now they have taken the mark of the beast, of this world ruler. And so because of it, the consequences come upon them. And as we said, God said, I'm going to judge the gods of the last days like I did in Egypt. I think we see God doing the same thing here as he's judging them. And I find it interesting. The very first bowl that he poured out was on what? The earth. Has anyone noticed any earth worship going on in the world today? Because let me make a blanket statement. I know I shouldn't have to say this, but we may have visitors and we certainly have people listening by radio that don't know me and they don't know Calvary Chapel. I am not anti-environment. I'm not anti-animal. I'm not anti-anything. I love God's creation. I'm enamored by God's creation. I'm blown away by the animals. And the more you study, if you get into some of those documentaries, it's amazing what God has done. I was watching just my little dog the other day, and the little indicator that God has given our little dogs to let us know they're happy to see us. You know, the little tail starts. The most, like, to me, that's cool. You just say a word to them, that little indicator gets going, you know. You can't tell. The rest of their body's just laying still, but you say that little indicator gets going, right? And I'm like, Lord, you're so neat. You're letting the dog, we're communicating with each other just by this little, you know, whatever. Creation amazes me. And the most simple of things amaze me, okay? But let me say this. Whenever we begin to elevate the environment and creation above the created mankind as God designed it, guys, we have things out of whack. And we have crossed over into this world with the environmental movement, with the green movement. I believe in conservation. I believe in taking care of things. But I believe now what has happened is the earth has crossed over into earth worship. And we're watching the earth being lifted up, even above God, even above mankind, even to the expense of mankind. As you guys know, there are now things being passed in Congress and in nations around the world that make mankind suffer. They actually put mankind second to the environment. When God created, God said he created the earth and he said, here's the earth, have dominion over it and use it as a resource. Find your clothing, find your fuel, find your food. I've given it to you for that reason. And now what we have done, we've begun to elevate the earth so much that it's actually becoming earth worship. And what I believe we see in the first bowl judgment is God judging one of the last days gods on the planet. And that is the earth. I think we're going to see an increase of earth worship. Movies like Avatar and all these other things that kind of turn the mindset of our children and teaching it in the schools and all that. And again, it's great to have a mindset of taking care of things. But when it becomes over mankind, it gets out of control. And that's exactly what's happening. And so I believe this is a judgment because of earth worship that God brings in this first bowl. And it's poured out on the earth. And notice what the result is, a foul and loathsome sore. Now, when you read about this sore and what the words mean, this thing gets pretty intense. I read things such as raw, pussy. The word foul comes with a sense of ruin, evil. Listen to this word to describe a sore. Wicked. You ever think of a sore being wicked? Man, that is a wicked sore. And I'm not talking about looking at it like kids do today. Man, dude, that's really wicked, man. I'm not talking about lingo. I'm saying this thing hurts so bad, it's like evil. I mean, this is wicked. That's what it means. It's loathsome. The word loathsome means bad or burdensome or harmful. So when you put all the meanings together, you've got this kind of raw, pussy, wicked, burdensome, harmful, difficult to heal. Some say that there's an indication here that these sores won't even really be very healable at all. They'll kind of be a sore from the indication that just kind of stays a sore. Now, what kind of sore does that? Well, there are different ones even today. But again, nuclear sores do that. They're very difficult to heal. Could there be some type of nuclear thing going on here in this first bowl that's poured out that maybe messes up the planet? You know, maybe something like everyone was afraid of the meltdown in Japan of all the nuclear reactors or whatever. And of course, that did not result in that. But could it be something like that? Very possibly. But either way, it's going to be poured out, it says. And it's interesting, the word poured out here means with lavishness. Now, that may be something you like when it's a blessing. But that's not something you like when it's a curse. It's going to be abundantly poured out, not sparingly, and these sores that are going to be really bad. But again, remember who this is for. These are for those who have rejected Jesus Christ to the very end. They've worshiped the beast. They've rejected the message of the angels surrounding the earth. And they said, we're going to do this thing anyway. And God says, if you do that, this is going to be the result. There is the first bowl that's poured out. And it only gets worse from here. Which, by the way, the more I read about these bowls, and as we did it in first service, aren't you glad you're going to be gone? Man, The second bowl now, starting in verse 3. So the second angel, notice he steps forward. The second angel now pours out his bowl on the sea. Now, even as I note the earth and have it underlined, I have the sea underlined as well. And it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Now, the second angel pours out his bowl again on the sea, and notice it becomes blood as of a dead man. You know, as all these creatures begin to die, imagine all the sea creatures dying at one time. What that would do to the oceans. Think about how putrefied, how rotten, how stinky. All the blood, all the things floating in the ocean. I was trying to imagine in my mind what it would be like on the beach. You know, you wouldn't really want the place on the beach that week, I can tell you that. And you imagine just the thickness of the waves. Instead of the breeze, you know, and the beauty of the waves, as they crash in, there'd be this kind of thick lopping of the wave filled with blood and all these animals and all this stench. And again, the whole scene here is rather dramatic when this happens. But now, why do I find it interesting that the second bowl is poured out on the sea? Because what is something else that is worshipped today in the world? The sea creatures in the ocean. Now, that kind of goes along with the environment, but how many years have we been seeing save the whales, save the dolphins? Do I love whales? Do I love dolphins? I love all God's creatures. I think they're wonderful. But it's amazing to me how the world will make a huge stand to save the environment and save the whales and save the dolphins while they'll simply say, it's okay to kill babies. Don't worry about that one. That was not a problem. Guys, we have things reversed in the world. And there's a worship of the earth and the ocean and the environment going on that God is going to deal with one day. He's going to say, I have to judge this. I have to. Because now you're worshiping the creation rather than the creator. And remember, the Bible says in Romans, that's what happens when people turn away from God. It tells us in Romans, when mankind turns away from God, they begin to worship what? The creature rather than the creator. Speaking of the creature, I know another pastor, he said, somebody asked his son, said, what do you do for a living? He said, my dad's a creature. And so he actually was a preacher. But anyway, you have to know, I guess, the full story for that to be. And it even wasn't funny then, but that's okay. But he pours out the blood here. He pours out the second bowl. I guess we're so heavy because of thinking about the oceans and all. You know, I've got a way, I think, of painting pictures. Sometimes that can kind of lay it out there and make it heavy. Listen, I want to take just a little, let's take a station break here. And let me have your eyeballs. You will not be here. And let me give you some hope. Oh, yeah, but the oceans will be completely destroyed, Pastor Mark, and the earth's going to be completely destroyed. Here's the rest of the story, okay? Remember Paul Harvey, the rest of the story? That's only going to be during a 3.5-year period after we're out of here when God is dealing with the rebellious of the world. Then the Bible says Jesus Christ is coming back from heaven in glory. You and I are going to come with him, Calvary Chapel, Knoxville, all of us that are here. He's going to supernaturally restore the entire earth. The Bible says all the oceans will spring to newness like they were in the Garden of Eden. All the trees and all the lands, even the deserts, will spring forth and bloom with new streams running across the face of the planet. It's going to be beautiful, and you're going to be ruling and reigning and enjoying it for 1,000 years after that. So don't be in despair as we cover this. Realize God has done us a blessing and a favor by telling us what's coming so we can warn others and we can know. But guys, this is not our future. Our future is glorious. And by the way, after this earth goes through these horrible bowl judgments, the future of the earth is going to be glorious as well. And so there's a lot of really neat things ahead. So remember that. And so all the sea creatures die. And we saw the second trumpet, only a third of the sea was turned into blood. Now with this bowl, the entire ocean is turned into blood. You know, I think, again, just what it would be like to see all the devastation. It wouldn't just be all the dead animals and all the rot and all the other things that go with it. Think about the famine. Remember, the Bible says in the last days there'll be great famine. How much food do we get from the ocean? And around the world, sometimes for some people, that's almost exclusively their diet. It's gone. Now, what about the drinking water? Well, you say, all right, well, we're okay as far as the drinking water goes because the streams and the rivers are still okay, right? Well, look at bowl number 3. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. So now not just the ocean, but also the rivers and the springs of water. Again, it's like what wasn't covered in the second bowl is now covered in the third bowl and the remaining water. And now all the creatures in them die. So now we have all these dead creatures in the ocean, all these dead creatures in the rivers and stream. We have famine that is going to be rampant during that time. And also we have a struggle to get drinking water. No doubt there will still be some bottled water in places. There will still be some cisterns and things. But as far as being able to get fresh water, it's going to be virtually impossible. And so this is going to get really, 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 really ugly and really, really interesting. But I also find it interesting that when it talks about God pouring out this judgment on the rivers and the streams, again, it goes back to that whole environmental thing as well, where God is, again, removing the thing that the world is lifting up today and is saying, you need to look to me. You need to have your eyes on me. You know, I guess I've really been, it's really been brought to my attention how really, I want to say extreme things you're getting when it comes to the environmental movement. I would now call it just really radical, extreme. And that is really because of our project down here. See, this really lines up as I'm studying Revelation and then we're doing all the things and getting the permits and doing all that we're doing. It's amazing all the things that you have to do. You know, just to work within something like 15 feet of that stream that we have on the property. If you move any dirt or whatever, you've got to get a permit and get all these things, but, you know, almost an act of Congress to get do anything down there because they're afraid there might be some mud that runs into it. Now, I don't know the last time you walked down a stream. That's all it is. And I'm going, what are y'all worried about? I mean, we're going to get mud in the muddy stream. But again, it's this whole mindset of, you know, don't tamper with the environment. Don't touch anything. You know, we had some trees removed, as you guys know, down there as well. And we had a man that removed the trees who has been doing this now for 25 years in this area, Knox County and in the city. And there was never a permit required. There were no permits for cutting trees down. You could do whatever you wanted on your own land. If you want to cut a tree down and move the tree, you could do it. And when he went to get the trees, he said he was going to cut them down. I said, we need to get a permit for that. He said, no, there is no permit. I've been doing this 25 years. There's no permit for the trees. And I was kind of like, well, you haven't worked for us yet, you know, because we seem to be running into all these snags at every turn or whatever. Sure enough, he starts to go and cut the trees down. And they require him to get a permit. But this is the thing that really got me. There were some trees that were there that were already cut. And he said, well, we'll just get those trees and drag them up and put them on the truck. He couldn't even drag the trees to the truck that had already been cut down because it would be disturbing the soil. And you have to have a disturbing the soil permit. Now, guys, listen, I don't think you realize how ridiculous the codes have gotten in the city of Knoxville and in the county. It is absolutely out of control. If you want on your property, now honestly, on your property, if you cut down a tree, it is illegal for you to drag it anywhere unless you get a permit because you are disturbing the soil. My opinion would be little extreme. What do y'all think? God says, I'm going to deal with it. You're worshiping the earth so much that you're putting it above man. You're keeping man from working on his own land, on his own property. You're keeping man from getting resources from the earth that he needs because you're afraid of this or afraid of that. God says, I'm going to deal with it. And so this, again, is interesting to me to see where the judgments are coming as God begins to pour these bowls out. But now, again, those that would accuse God of being unrighteous, notice what it says in verse 5. Here's the angel's opinion of it. And I heard the angel of the water saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just do. Now, guys, you think, wow, this seems awfully harsh, all these judgments that are coming down. Listen to who God says the judgments that are coming down are upon. They're those who have been shedding the blood of the saints. They're murderers, and they're mass murderers, killing not you guys because you'll be gone, but those that come after us, that give their life to Christ afterward, they're going to be putting them to death. And God says, I'm going to defend my children. And I'm going to judge them. And so realize why the judgment is so serious. But I love it because those that would accuse God of not being righteous, the angel, oh yes, he's righteous. Righteous in all things. Our God is true and righteous. And notice that I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. As if God sends this second angel now to affirm the trueness and the righteousness of God's judgment. I love it. God is righteous in all he does. Now we come to the fourth bowl. So the first three done. Look at number four. The fourth angel now begins to pour his bowl out, and he poured it out on the sun. Now, this is interesting. And power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Now, as this fourth angel pours out his bowl, he does something to the sun that makes it magnify its intensity radically. Some have speculated maybe it begins to supernova. You know, maybe the sun's beginning to whatever. We don't know. Can you imagine the glow being heated up? It's interesting here, the wording that it uses here, because again, it speaks of an intense heat, a massively intense heat that heats up the entire globe so much that men cannot find relief. The language here speaks of being scorched like torture. Now imagine with all the dead animals from the streams and the ocean and the lack of water, and all that's going to be going on, and all of a sudden now everything heats up, and this is going to be an amazing, amazing scene when this happens. You know, it's interesting, when things get really hot, it's very uncomfortable, and all of us have probably experienced that from time to time, but if it can get as hot as it does now, what's it going to be like when this event happens to the sun? I remember we went to Russia here, as you guys know, last summer. While we were there, they broke records. It got up to 110 degrees in Russia. And in the nighttime, it's like 90-some degrees in the rooms, and there wasn't air conditioning, you know, so you're there just roasting. I remember, you know, I've been to some hot places. I remember going to Phoenix. I may have told you guys this before, and I moved there in my truck. This was years ago. The air conditioning had broken in the truck, and I was out looking for a job, you know, so I had a suit on. Let me tell you something. If you're in a vehicle with no air conditioning, by the way, the vehicle was black, and you're wearing a suit looking for a job, that Phoenix is not the place you want to be. And so I'm like sweating, and you try to blow on the air, and it's like a heater blowing in your face. You're like in this oven, you know. You're wondering if you're done, you know. The little turkey popper's already come out. And I pulled up to this light, and there was some guy standing there, and I said to him, I said, excuse me. He said, yeah. I said, do you live here? He said, yes. I said, why? He didn't think it was funny. But at the time, I was suffering because of the intense heat. Now, I think about that on an earthly level, guys. Earthly level. We hate it when our air conditioner breaks, right? Can't the guy get out here this afternoon, you know? We want it now. Think about a world where there's no escape. There's no escape. And so he magnifies this. It's interesting. I don't know what I feel about global warming now, but it will certainly be true those last 3.5 years. And it's going to be massive global warming like the earth has never seen before. But it's also interesting to me, speaking of God judging the gods, as you know, there are those who today worship the stars. Astrology. You know, all these different things in spiritism. And again, now we're seeing God bring his judgment even on the sun that's in the heavens. And notice the result here. They were scorched with great heat, it says, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Notice scorched with great heat again. We talked about it, great intensity. Tortured with heat is what the word means there. And again, notice, rather than repenting, what do? They blaspheme God. You know, people with a hard heart, guys, note this. If somebody has a hard heart, speaking judgment to them rarely will reach them. If the heart is hard, you tell them, you're going to hell. They're probably just going to get harder and say, you're just a religious nut. Get out of my face. The way to reach the person that has a heart of heart is love. Grace. Hey, Jesus loves you. God has a plan for your life. Has anybody ever shared what he did for you? Oh, I don't want to hear that stuff. Well, I'm not going to make you, but I want you to know he loves you. And if you ever want to talk, I'm here for you and I'll pray for you. Well, right? But if you turn into the hellfire and brimstone thing, listen, this is the result of hellfire and brimstone. Men's hearts, they get harder. And oftentimes when I see these guys with their signs and they're screaming and yelling, I know they, probably many of them love the Lord and they're simply trying to do what they believe is right, okay? But the bottom line is when people see that, it doesn't typically draw them to the Lord. It typically pushes them away. And so now we see these guys, you know, getting harder and harder and blaspheming God. So we come to the fifth bowl. Notice, then the fifth bowl was poured out on the throne of the beast. That is the world, because the beast, the Antichrist, is now ruling the world at this time. And his kingdom became full of darkness. So the earth goes dark. Now notice, the sun suddenly gets brighter and hotter and then boom, goes dark. You know, again, there may be something there scientifically God uses. We don't know. But now the whole earth goes dark immediately after that. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. So again, they already have these sores that won't heal. They've got all these other issues going on in the world. Now they're gnawing their tongues. The pain is so great. But they continue in their blasphemy. Look at verse 11. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. So again, we see the hearts still getting harder, even with all this. And then the last bowl that we'll look at today, the sixth bowl, the angel comes forward. Notice this. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl, and the great river Euphrates and its waters were dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. Now, the goal of this, God is gathering all the armies of the world to Armageddon. This is leading up to the Battle of Armageddon at the very end, right before the Lord returns. And so how are the kings from the east going to be able to travel easily across the Euphrates? God's going to dry it up. Now, again, whether or not it's a supernatural thing, God just dries the whole Euphrates, or whether or not God pours out this supernatural bowl and causes Russia to block up the dam they have now built on the Euphrates, we don't know. Russia has now built a dam on the Euphrates that can block it up. But now whether or not God will use that, or whether or not that will be something that God, again, supernaturally does, it will be God supernatural either way. And it's going to be so these kings of the east and these world leaders can come toward Jerusalem and the battle of Armageddon and get ready for this battle that's going to usher in the return of the Lord, where we rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. It's prepared. And notice this. This is interesting to me. Verse 13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon. Remember, that is Satan. The mouth of the beast, that is the Antichrist, and the mouth of the false prophet. So they're speaking doctrines of demons and using this demonic deception to draw the peoples and the armies of the world to Armageddon so that they can be judged there. Notice verse 14, for they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Now, again, I understand the demonic realm deceiving and gathering everyone to battle, but the frog thing's interesting to me. Now, I'm not going to say frogs are demonic. Everybody with me on that? We actually have a frog. Somebody gave us a frog. We have a pet frog. I've never had one before. He's really hard to walk, but he's cute. But the bottom line is, I'm not saying frogs are demonic, but God uses a frog here symbolically to show a demonic presence and a demonic voice. Why do I find that interesting? Because those of you that have spent time in the spiritist areas of America have probably seen this. I spent 7 years, as you know, in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and it's very spiritual there. Not God's spirit, don't get me wrong, but very spiritual. They worship the rocks, the trees, everything, whatever, you know. And they have these lot of artists and sculptors, and they're enamored with frogs out there. And you'll see these frogs in all these shops that they've made or whatever, and oftentimes see the frogs with wings. And I remember the first time I saw a frog with wings, they're all over the place out there. Why in the world would you put wings on a frog? I mean, I've heard of creativity, but that thing doesn't even exist, right? And then I read this in Revelation. I thought, Lord, the same spirit. It's almost as if there's this same underlying spirit. And I don't understand that, and I don't want to go too far into that, but I find it interesting, the connection of using the frogs here and what's going on as these unclean spirits come out and begin to go and deceive the rest of the world. Just interesting to watch how the enemy works and to be aware of. And so notice it says their battle there for the great day, the battle of Armageddon. And then right in the middle of this, now we've had bowl after bowl, six bowls of wrath, okay? All of a sudden, after these six bowls of wrath, we come to verse 15, and notice the Lord gives this word of hope to us and to anyone else who will listen. Look at verse 15. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. That is, I'm coming. You won't know when I'm coming, but there's an opportunity for you to get out of here. You see, the Lord is talking about the rapture of the church. And how do I know that? Because it's described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, where it says, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. And the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to come at a time you don't know. I'm just going to show up and we're going to be out of here. It could be today. And now he's giving that word of encouragement and warning. And he says, blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Now, what does he mean, keeps his garments? He's saying, look, be on guard and don't go to sleep spiritually. Here's what used to happen in that day. The guards would be on watch and sometimes they would fall to sleep physically. And people would come by and take their garments. And they would take everything they could, their weapons, their clothes, anything they could get, basically almost down to their underwear, right? Anything they could get without waking them up. I guess you get the weapons first in case the soldier wakes up. He's not going to kill you or something, right? And then they would wake up and they'd be there just ashamed. And their underwear is kind of like that dream about being in the mall came true, right? You know, they're there in their underwear and they're, and they're in the middle of a city or whatever. He's saying, don't let that happen. Be watching. Be aware. Don't go to sleep spiritually. Guys, listen. Don't go to sleep spiritually. This is not a time to be going to sleep spiritually. Oh, things have always gone on like they have. The Bible says in the last days, people are going to be saying that. My grandmother said Jesus was coming back. The Bible says in the last days, people are going to be saying that more and more. Don't let the delay of the Lord in his grace cause us to go to sleep. We need to stay awake, to be watching and to be prepared and not to go through this humiliating thing of missing it and all that goes with that. The Lord says, be awake. And notice he ends verse 16, and they gathered them together to the place in Hebrew called Armageddon. So again, this will be when God gathers all the armies of the world for this final battle. Guys, as we finish this today, I want to challenge you with a couple of things. Number one, note this. The Lord gives us a warning to be watching and ready. When you read Jesus in the Gospels, he says over and over and over, be watching, be ready. I'm coming at a time you don't know. Be watching, be ready. Be prepared. The question I have for each of us in here today is, are we ready? Are we prepared? Are you guys ready? What if the Lord came today? Are you ready to go? Are you prepared to go today? Or are you like, well, not yet. I've got some things I got to take care of. Take care of them. Get it taken care of. Because we need to make sure we're ready. The Lord said, don't be like those that are ashamed, that are asleep and their garments taken. Let's make sure we're clothed in the robe of righteousness from the Lord. But again, I also want to do this. I want to leave us rejoicing. Now, that's a challenge when you teach on a passage like this. You know, whenever you come to these heavy-duty passages, you're like, man, I don't leave people just bummed out, you know, whatever. Listen, saints, you need to be rejoicing. God has given you a beautiful day. God has given you a blessed life. These things that we read about today are future. They're not going to happen yet, and you're going to be gone before that takes place. God is going to take care of his bride. He's going to watch after each of you. He's going to bless you, and he's going to watch over you. So don't be fearful about this. This is not a passage that should make anyone in this room fearful. It should be a passage that makes us humble, makes us sober, and gives us a desire to share Jesus Christ. You see, what's happening here is the sins of those that are on the earth, they're now being judged for them. The wrath is being poured out on them for their sin. But guys, the Bible says that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was on the cross and the judgment was poured on him. The bowls of wrath were poured on Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. And if you have received Jesus Christ, your bowl has been paid for. It's done. He took it for you. And now you just get the benefits. You just get to say, praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. So let's make sure we're ready. Let's be thankful we're not going to be here. Let's rejoice that God has rescued us. Let's be thankful that he's told us the future. And let's have conviction to tell people around us, look, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know that he loves you? Remember, it's not going to be the wrath of God that's going to win their heart. You can turn straight to Revelation 16 and say, let me tell you what's going to happen. And you better do something about it, right? Probably they're going to ignore you. You need to take him to the cross and say, Jesus loves you and he died for you. And if you'll simply receive him, your sins will be taken away. And all the future judgments, whether it be on you or this earth, they're all washed away at that point. Guys, do you have that assurance this morning? Do you have that assurance? You can by simply receiving him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God, that you've given us assurance. We have confidence and assurance in Jesus Christ. And Lord, not only will we not miss heaven if we are in Christ, but Lord, we will not endure the wrath of God. And as we read today in Revelation 16 about your wrath, God, it's going to be a very fearful day sometime in the future for those who have rejected you and have followed the beast and taken his mark. And Lord, they've made up their mind. They don't want you and they're going that direction. And I know it breaks your heart. But Lord, I pray that you would just continue to draw as many as you can in until that day. And Lord, with the seriousness of a passage like we see today, God, give us a heart that wants to reach out, a heart that wants to share. But God, let us do it in love. Let us do it in grace. Let us tell of your goodness, because your word says it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. And Father, I pray too for the believers in here, Lord, as we cover this kind of passage. I pray you encourage them today. Lord, let them leave here rejoicing. Rejoicing, number one, in the fact their sins are paid for. The bowls have been poured on you. Number two, Lord, rejoicing that they won't be here when all this takes place. Number three, Lord, rejoicing that we're going to be back on this earth fully restored. The oceans crystal clear. The trees beautiful. The land restored. The deserts springing forth with flowers and streams. As you sit on the throne in Jerusalem, Lord, high and lifted up, with us gathering in Jerusalem on a regular basis, worshiping you and hearing you teach the word and helping to rule and reign across the face of this planet. God, we have a glorious future. So God, fill us with that joy. Fill us with that hope. And Lord, let us just be more and more not only mindful of sharing your hope, but God, bold to do it. Give us boldness, Lord. Fill us with your spirit to be bold to share the name of Christ and to lift up your holy name. Thank you, Father, for telling us what's going to happen. And thank you, Lord, for delivering it from us. Now let us take that message to others. And we give you glory and ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.